Ladies and dweebs, welcome to The Dark Weeb with your hosts, Cody Ziegler, Brody Reed. How you feeling, Cody?
I'm feeling good. This is some behind-the-scenes information, but I think we haven't recorded in a while, it seems.
Are you
Because I just forgot the... I had to search for a theme song.
Blot your bingo cards.
Yeah, it's good, man. Life is good. We're doing this July 4th weekend.
Yeah, it's been a shaky July 4th weekend.
Yeah, we survived the earthquake.
Had a couple earthquakes. I feel like the fireworks have been hitting harder this year. I don't know about you.
Yeah, so I'm in K-Town. And
we got that Cali strain.
Yeah, niggas was airing it out. They were just like, to like 3 in the morning.
It's explosives. Let's talk to our guests. We're very excited to have our guest today. We've been wanting to have him for a while. And he's in town. Please welcome from Getting the Robot. And he's going to have a podcast on Crunchyroll soon. Our good friend Yodoye Travis. What's up, dude?
Oh, hello. Hello.
Welcome, King. How are we living?
Oh, I'm feeling good, man. It's good to be here. Mm-hmm. It's good to be here and among my fellow kings.
Yes.
What's funny is that, like, I only know you because we're in a Twitter group about Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And we've been sitting spicy memes together for like
y'all niggas had a Twitter group.
Oh, you don't
have
in
a
this?
Twitter group.
Glad you king.
Oh, where am I? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm going to blame the queen, Dani Fernandez. She set this up. She pulled me into the game. I was out of the game and she pulled me back in. Mm-hmm. But we'll get you in
just
there.
When I thought I was out.
Yeah. So rude.
She sent me a picture of Vegeta and I had to come back in.
Well, that's cool. But we got you the day before you left, locking you in, talking about anime. Let's catch up first. What have we been watching recently? Boy.
Yeah. Going around the room, this is about today's episode, but I'm watching One Punch Man every week, but Demon Slayer. Are you guys on the Demon Slayer train yet?
I'm not on Demon
You're not
Slayer.
On it?
I keep.
Son, I told you.
Look, man, I was out of the game for a long time because I was, I don't know. I like to pretend I don't care what people think of me, but I very much do. And so I was off the anime shit for a little bit.
Were you getting some flack or are you afraid people are going to see you as a nerd?
No, I was just projecting. I was just projecting on people.
I hear you.
I thought it was going to be like... and there's a little bit of it still.
Mm-hmm.
Like I tell people I work at Crunchyroll, and I had one dude online like say I was like one of these hentai dudes or whatever.
Oh, okay, well, what do you do there?
So I'm just a writer, producer now, just doing this
for their videos and stuff. Or
no, just this podcast.
Cool.
Yeah. So I guess this is like inside info, and I think I can tell you this. It's
just
that the guy who hired me at
Getting
the Robot.
Robot,
which is under Frederator, he moved to Crunchyroll, and Crunchyroll and Verve, and hired me to do both this, and I worked on Danny's Wizard Show with Mikey.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
very cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. Like, I feel like I've been sort of getting off the anime bullshit the past couple of weeks.
Fucking all y'all niggas. I'll never stop watching anime.
I think it's only because I mainly watch my shit on Hulu.
Yeah.
So, Hulu? Like, when it's like, because I don't have Crunchyroll yet, and I'm still saving up my money to.
Oh, man, my Crunchyroll's deep.
Yeah, I heard you and Mike, Open Mike Eagle, talk about your.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you ready to hit me up with a lifetime subscription.
Yeah, I got you.
I only got a year out of them. I can only squeeze a year.
That's not bad, I guess.
Oh, and Stranger Things. I tore through Stranger Things. That was my non-anime bullshit.
I'm not gonna lie. I caught up on Big Little Lies.
Yeah,
I went from 0 to 60 on Big Little Lies.
I've like barely fucked with Stranger Things, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I kind of
the whole series or just the season 3.
I guess seasons 2 and 3. I watched all of the first season.
Gotcha.
I'm just like, I can't. I don't know if I can care about kids that long anymore.
Yeah, it's like same. Yeah, I feel you.
Even though that's what most anime is about.
Right.
It's like I'm like talking shit about Stranger Things. Meanwhile, I'm watching Kakegurui, just watching a bunch of kids gamble.
I just have so much on my plate to watch. It's like that is the lowest tier of shit. Like I gotta watch wacky TV Nanana before I watch that. Do you guys know what that is?
No, what is that?
It's one of the dumber animes that I watch. It's it is on Crunchyroll. It's a comedy anime about the whole world is anthropomorphic bananas. So just get that out of the way. Just get that out of the way. But the show is about like this very low budget TV company that sends their like documentary crew out to get footage and like save the company.
What
and
a premise.
It's so silly. And it's like, I think the people who voice acted like are legit like Japanese bananas. Comedians. So it's kind of some of the jokes are just kind of just like how they interact with each other. But then every once in a while they'll have like a musical episode where they like complain about their budget.
What's this called again?
It's called Wacky TV Nanana.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I highly recommend it. I blew through it and I'm still enjoying that a lot.
Okay.
Let's see other shit I'm watching. I'm watching Attack on Titan. Attack on Titan has gotten so crazy this season. I know a lot of people have fallen off. The last two episodes give you like the actual backstory finally, and it is pretty wild. I mean, I need someone to talk to about it.
Yeah.
How caught up are you?
Attack on Titan? Mm-hmm. I just finished the first season, and gotcha. I was like, I don't know. It was exciting, but I just couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Something about the aesthetic of it just like didn't appeal to me after a season.
Man, if the aesthetic of the anime doesn't appeal to you, you gotta look at the manga and you'll really be turned off.
Yeah.
The manga, it really looks like it's drawn by like a 15-year-old. Oh, and no shade, but like, it's pretty funny.
I mean, that's what One Punch Man looks like too. And
really?
It's great.
Yeah, there is some heart to the One Punch Man's like incredibly bad drawings.
Yeah.
makes me think that I could be a mangaka, but the truth is,
if you read One Punch Man, you could very earnestly be like, oh yeah, I can do this if the character is endearing enough.
Yeah, if you just have a good story.
A lot of the character designs in One Punch Man look like something that a kindergartner drew and then a better artist made. Yeah, I'll make a lobster man.
Yeah. We like the way they switch between like serious Saitama and then the cartoon one. That's
some of my favorite shit. We might as well just dive into it, right?
Sure, let's do it. This is the One Punch Man episode. Zig, you're a huge One Punch Man fan.
I am. So I guess we should go around the room. Like, how are you? What, season one? Is that what you said?
I haven't even finished season one.
Okay.
The only reason that I haven't is because when I was watching it, I was like, this seems kind of like an episodic type of thing. Like, you see, it's obviously more of like a character based, like story progression rather than like a straight up like shonen type thing. So like when it started to get popular, and like, I don't know about you guys, but like so many people I know who didn't even watch anime at all were just like, have you seen One Punch Man? Have you seen One Punch Man? I was just like, I watch lots of anime.
Have you seen my banana documentary TV show?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly. Have you seen this video, Banana Slips on Man, for 10 hours?
Yeah, so I mean, it's always something that's always been on the back burner. I liked it a lot. And then when Mob Psycho 100 came out, I really tore through that. Mm-hmm. So I will get to it, and it's a shame that I didn't get to it before this episode. But
I definitely was in these streets when the first season came out. Like I tore through all of it on like those very sketchy, like not approved anime sites where you would get them like the day after it came out. Like I've been tearing through this season too, but I feel like it's one of those shows that definitely complements My Hero Academia. Like watching those back to back, you're like, oh, this is all that I need when it comes to like superhero comic book bullshit.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, if I just had those two shows, I would be satisfied.
Yeah, absolutely. We're at a weird place with shonen stuff because like we grew up only having like a couple animes to like really binge.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Gundam Wing and it was Dragon Ball, and then it was like fucking Inuyasha and Sailor Moon and shit. And then it's just like we never had like a huge catalog that we have now. Mm-hmm. I have so much shit to watch.
Yeah. I have shit to rewatch,
and
Evangelion just came out. I started Cowboy Bebop again. Mm-hmm. I'm like trying to get through the season two and three of Fooly Cooly.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah. I'm just like,
I haven't even seen 2 and 3.
I started it. It's like I have to give it a chance because in the first couple episodes of season two, it feels like kind of derivative of the first one.
Yeah.
I just found out there's a side offshoot of Fooly Cooly, like an alternative like Fooly Cooly storyline.
Well, are you something? Maybe
Maybe season, I'm talking about season, season two and three.
Season three is called Alternative.
Oh, okay. Maybe and it's then, that.
Or if one is Alternative, the other is Progressive.
Right.
So maybe that's it.
Okay.
But yeah.
Do they come out at the same time or something?
Roughly. Okay. In the same couple weeks.
We got to do a whole Fooly Cooly episode. It's going to be a lot. Yeah, but the first Fooly Cooly had a big impact on me.
That's the one with the...
When I was bad at playing guitar.
And yeah. That was the guitar. I remember it being like the robot guitar and the giant iron.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Yeah. Pillows were my Nirvana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also Nirvana actually, were my pillows. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
That was like... I was thinking of like, if I got another tattoo, I think that would be it. The little like Atomisk symbol on his head.
Cool, right? Yeah.
That's not a bad one. Yeah. I'd probably like get like the iron or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then forget that there's better tattoos I could have got.
Yeah, right.
I get like the scooter or some shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've been watching One Punch Man mm-hmm. every week as it comes out. Mm-hmm. And like rewatching it now, having gotten older and having like starting to make things, I think the thing that I love so much about it is that existential crisis of Saitama.
Very existential.
Being the strongest person in the universe and like, but being so bad at everything else in his life. Like, I think he only eats like fast food. Like, he's terrible at actual fighting video games. Uh-huh. Like, he doesn't know how to form relationships, like meaning relationships with people.
Yeah. Mm. Even fighting, he's not a good fighter. He just is really He goes through a whole martial arts tournament. Like, what is martial arts?
Like, he just has like these moves are called consecutive normal moves and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. My first album is like the cover is based on the like little okay thing.
Oh, nice.
Well, it's called that. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fire.
Yeah. I decided I'm going to call my next one consecutive normal punchlines.
That is beautiful.
And it's on the record now, so nobody can take that from me.
Nice.
Oh yeah, getting there. So what brought you to like One Punch Man? Like what was the moment that you were like, oh, I'm into this show?
I don't remember exactly what it was. I just remember from the moment I watched it, I was like, oh, this is the show for me. This mm-hmm. is like such a perfect, because my problem growing up mm-hmm. watching a lot of anime was there was such a limited supply.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like the stuff you would watch was either like,
this was in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so, and like, I remember like staying up for the first day of Adult Swim and watching Cowboy Bebop for the first time.
Yeah.
And like, I just remember I loved anime, but so much of it was like there was no middle ground. It mm-hmm. was either comedy or it was like so melodramatic that I just couldn't watch it sometimes. Mm. And I think One Punch Man just like, it feels like the first, it's obviously not, but it feels like the first anime that was like kind of on the same wavelength that I was in terms of like, this shit is too serious.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
like just fucking relax and just watch something that's fun.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been trying to do more of now that like we're in this new like anime like era, I've been trying to like go back and watch more comedy animes because that's mm-hmm. something we don't have really experience to.
Yeah.
And like there are more like shonen comedy animes. There's like Gintama. Mm-hmm. There's like what's the food one? Toriko or something like that. We got Bobobo.
I forgot about that one. Yeah, yeah.
About Bobo.
Yeah, we're gonna get into a wrestling anime episode and it's gonna be crazy. And then like there's just like other like slapstickier stuff that I'm like trying to like experience. Like it's a whole wide world that we just don't know about.
Yeah, I think also having grown up watching all that shonen shit, like all those tropes that are immediately hammered in and One Punch Man, especially I've been rewatching Hunter x Hunter, and by rewatching I just mean like looking at clips on YouTube because I ain't got time to look through everything.
Yeah, when you said you were rewatching, I was just like, hold on, you got too much dip on your chip.
But like one of the things that like I really enjoyed about that show, but it also is very funny, is that like they spend so much time giving you the rules for like like their energy stuff works, like mm-hmm. how this fight is going to happen, and like breaking down like strategies to make mid fight for everything. Like, are you guys caught up on Hunter x Hunter?
No.
I just finished the Chimera Ant arc, which is like, I'm good at pausing it there.
That's mm-hmm. all you need. So like, I won't spoil it, but there's a thing that happens in that arc where like, there's like a timer. Like they have like 5 minutes are happening, but it's transpiring over like four or five different point of views mm-hmm. over like probably a dozen episodes. So you're just like, This 5 minutes is real. Like, I thought Frieza and Goku were extending that 5 minutes, yeah, but this is wild as hell.
One of the weird things about that show is that they'll explain you the rules of something for like 20 minutes and then maybe use it 1.5 times and then completely like not use that rule at all.
Yeah, and then it's gone. And that's one of the things that they do really that I think is really funny. And
it's almost like a joke.
And yeah, and I think what's really funny in One Punch Man is that they do that same thing where like this person has studied for years and years forming like this rock water style or whatever. Like this guy has studied his super skill is being able to move so fast, and then obviously he gets punched and he gets beat up in one punch. Or when they have like the non Saitama fights where it's like these two expert martial arts like going at it, and then like he just comes in and like slaps him and like he just gets knocked out. Like that shit gets me every single time.
Yeah, it's amazing to me because I have a theory that like you can have like a bunch of different skills, but if you have one skill and it works every time, you're the best. You're the greatest of all time.
Right? Yeah. Like, I mean,
I don't know. Like, I don't like Arjen Robben is a soccer player. Everyone knows he's left-footed. Everyone knows he will always cut in at the top of the box and shoot with his left foot at the top of the box.
Yeah.
And it works every time. Yeah. And I feel like he's one of the greatest soccer players to ever live.
I think about it like with like fighting games even. It's like there's so many like strategies in things that you can use to like get to like a higher level of play. But if you're playing against people who don't know how to block a Hadouken, it's like you are the best. If you know how to do a Hadouken.
Yeah,
exactly. That's all you need. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of times I got embarrassed online playing fucking Marvel versus Capcom.
I mean, you got to eat that embarrassment. I would legit watch a show where it's just someone who only throws Hadouken. And then no one can jump high enough.
That's wild.
The funniest thing about One Punch Man to me, I mean, just like right off the bat, is that how he got so strong. And then like if you read about it, it's just it truly, that's like the funniest joke of just like he did 100 push-ups a day, he did 100 squats a day, 100 sit-ups, ran 10 kilometers, which is like not even
10 miles.
And then he did that for 300 days, I think. And then
he became so strong he lost all of his hair.
Which is scientifically accurate.
Yeah, kind of mixed in with the testosterone.
It does make sense.
I'm glad I have low testosterone because I have gray hair.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't handle that strict regimen of Saitama. I am
low T, good H.
I am very curious to see like what the end game for like the show is. Like,
I'm curious too. I feel like I don't know the mangaka well, but I like looking at a show like Mob Psycho, where the second season, I mean, like, it's different from the first season in just terms of progression. I mean, like, where the first season was kind of like, in the second season, too, where it's just like you see in this, like, deep character study of just like, sure, this kid is all powerful, but, like, he wants to be a normal person. He wants to, like, get better. He wants to, like, grow as a person. And then the second season got kind of like a little more shounen-y, but then I like watched a couple video essays and I'm like, actually, no, it really is still this like internal struggle of like, you know, he's going through all this stuff with Reagan, and then I think I'm saying that character's name right. And then like he's fighting this organization where people just like take really talented people and then don't want them to heal emotionally and then just want to use them as weapons. So I'm down with that. I really like how deeply like in like intrinsic and like inward like so much of these stories are.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. One Punch Man could really go anywhere. Like, it's built that way. It's like a Rick and Morty type way of just like you can literally throw anything in here, but the story has to work.
Yeah, and it's and I think you're right. It is like it's sort of like masking a discussion on depression.
Yeah.
He's just such a clearly depressed character. He doesn't do anything.
Just look at his dead ass eyes.
Yeah. And he's doing hero work just for fun. Mm-hmm. And it's not fun. It's not, he eats nothing but like ramen all the time. Just like, and like cups of ramen, which in Japan feels even sadder.
Which, right.
Because you have the access.
Yeah. Relatable.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to do like a parody video where I just eat cups of ramen, but then in all those like food shows where they're just like, oh, like waves of flavor.
Yeah. Right.
Like, oh, ajio furutre. Oh, so like explosion. Like, oh, baku hot sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so rich.
Sorry. They're getting to this really fun thing now where they're sort of really leaning. I mean, they've always leaned into like the comic book shit, but like they're really leaning into it now with the like, they have like their whole monster association that's fighting like the Severus Association.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And like they're starting to like introduce even more ridiculous characters on the monster sides where there's like, I mean, I don't want to spoil the show, but there's there's a guy that's in like a phoenix costume that you think is like he's in like a giant Chuck costume, but then you realize that like his actual power is that he's also a phoenix that flies. And like there are things like that are so funny to me. Or when it's like there's a guy in a karate gi that has like a frog head and like that's his superpowers. That he's
yeah,
just a guy, a nigga with a frog head on. Yeah. And like he fights.
In the once they start like feeding everyone the monster cells and they're turning people in monsters, there's like these three just crows with human arms. They're like
three swole crows.
I would love to do like character
crows
designs
from Dumbo.
Debbie, no fighting today.
Man, you know what's fucked up? I actually like the crows from Dumbo. They were the best part of the movie.
Did anyone watch the remix?
No. Has that? No, the new Dumbo hasn't come out yet.
Right? I have no clue.
It's out. It's out.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I have no clue either. I thought it had already came out, but
it has.
It has?
Okay. Yeah, it's been out for a while.
Never mind.
I've heard mixed reviews.
Okay. I heard they took the crows out. That's why.
I was going to ask if the crows are in there. Are they out? They have to be out.
Which is crazy, only because that movie's already like 45 minutes long.
I know, right? It's just that like drug scene where Dumbo sees a bunch of elephants. Actually, that scene is sick as fuck.
I don't think I've seen Dumbo since I was probably single digits years old.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's been forever.
Like, I don't know what happens in that series.
You know what I saw recently? I saw the Tiny Toons movie.
Oh.
Y'all ever see that? You probably have.
Wow.
And I'm sure they had to have showed it on, like, TV.
I mean, I've seen that movie probably, like, 20 times on VHS and hadn't seen it in, like, 25 years. And then recently watched it at a party. And I was like, I remember every frame of this movie.
Yeah.
What happens in the Looney Tunes, in the Tiny Toons movie?
It's the one where they go on summer vacation and then classic. Like they kind of split up and they go through like a road trip and I think it's called Happy Fun Land or something. Yeah. And they all split up and then they all come back to school at the end. And it's like, apparently something I didn't know is that the animators who worked on Akira worked on Tiny Toons.
Really?
Like right after.
Really?
Apparently, yeah.
That's fucking wild.
It kind of shows. Yeah. Like there's a lot of really good shots in there.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, do you guys read that article that's dropping about
that? Yeah, let's talk about the Akira.
Oh, about that. Yeah.
Very exciting shit.
Yeah, so they're doing a 4K. I'm just running through. They're doing a 4K re-release.
Uh-huh.
They're doing like a new like sad story type thing, or are they redoing like the manga?
We should just Google it real fast, but they're making a new movie and they're doing a TV show, I think. And I think they're trying to like faithfully like do the manga, which is so exciting. This is something.
Well, is that what they're doing for the live action, or are they doing?
For the live action, I've actually heard some insider dish about the live action.
Give me
one.
That chisme, my guy.
One of the last guests on our show, Alexis Crisano, is like friends with a couple people who like, I guess, are working for Taika Waititi or something like that. And I think, my biggest concern when I was talking to her about it, I was just like, are there like Asian casts in it? Mm-hmm. And apparently, like, the main cast is going to be Asian, but I think there's maybe like three Asian people in it.
Oh, three, yeah. The main cast will be Asian.
But if they're the main cast, like I won't mind.
Yeah. I'll take what I can get at this point. So it says they're doing a remaster, the 4K remaster, and they're also going to be doing on a TV adaptation of the original manga series, well as doing
very excited.
The Taika live action. Oh, and he's working on a new film called Orbital Era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Orbital Era is the one is what I heard about yesterday.
Do you know what that is? I don't know.
I guess he announced it at Anime Expo yesterday.
Yeah. No, cool. The teaser is
Did
like,
you go?
No, I'm going tomorrow.
Cool. Where is it?
It is at Los Angeles.
Convention Center?
The city.
Okay.
Just yes, sprawling. Yeah.
Got it.
So the teaser for Orbital Error is a skateboard in space. Whoa. All right, this looks fire already. So it's a skateboard that gets hit by
sick kickflip off that satellite.
Nice.
Oh, shit.
This is the new Tony Hawk, actually. This is an ad before.
Oh, my God. I have no idea what's going to happen in this movie.
No idea, but
if it's a cat in like a Russian helmet with a skateboard in space.
You know what? There's enough themes in there. There's something for everybody.
Yeah, there truly is. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
something for everybody.
There's already so many teens who are all about that right now.
Yeah.
Do you guys read the manga for Akira?
I did.
I am reading it now.
Nice.
What part are you
How far?
I'm literally like most of the way through the first one.
For the first half?
Uh-huh.
For the first half or first volume?
The first volume.
Sick.
Yeah. It's so long.
Yeah.
It is.
For how long the movie is, I was like, surely it's like two or three. Yeah. And I bought the first three at the same time and then went back to the store in New York. And I was like looking around for other shit and then I see 4 through 6. I'm like, well, fuck.
Nice. The second half of it is just my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
It's like the best post-apocalyptic thing you could see.
When I went to an art school for my grad, and we had just a stupid library because we also had like a sequential arts department. So you said all these comic books and shit. And like my first quarter there, I tore through the manga for Akira. Yeah. And like, I am very curious to see like a TV adaptation of like that second part. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it gets so crazy.
I don't know. I'm really excited for it. Doing this podcast for Crunchyroll, mm-hmm. I've like talked a lot about just like the process of getting it to America.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Jerry Beck, who's a studio, he worked at Streamline Pictures, told us this story about asking, just like they were getting a new office for Streamline, and they asked Otomo for just a cell from the
original Akira.
Was it so
expensive?
A frame in there. Well, here's the thing. Is that they were just going to throw them all out. They were not going to use them for anything. They were just like using them for like bookmarks, throwing them away. And so he asked for one cell, and they were like, yeah, we're just going to throw out all of them.
What the fuck?
So if you want to pay for shipping, you can have all of them.
What?
And so he...
When was this?
I want to say like 91, 92.
Okay.
And like they were just clearing out space in
for sure.
Yeah, and so after like a month after he pays for shipping, just a boat comes to LA and just puts all these cells on a truck and just takes it to their office.
Oh my
just
God.
Dumps them all like on the ground. They don't even know.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And so he just sorted through all those cells to get like a couple good ones.
Wow.
Just to hang up in his office.
That's fucking crazy.
Wow. Did he sell them or something?
I don't remember. I have that information.
I would live off of that.
Yeah. Right?
That'd be insane.
Just the trash ones, you could live off.
Even just the trash ones.
Yeah. Even I'm thinking of the worst shot in Akira, and it's still one of the best shots I can think of.
Just like Kagome getting punched in the face.
Or even Jesus when they would Christ. When they would do like those like sweeping city shots, but they would obviously have like three or four different layers of just like this huge panoramic of the city. Like, I'll take that. Like, give me
exactly.
Anything.
Yeah.
I'll take no action.
Yeah.
Couple.
Just give me those taillights streaming. Like, I'll take that.
I'll take like a blurry transition.
So
probably the most expensive.
I'm very curious to see what Taika does with this live action version of.
Yeah.
I do trust Taika. I'm just like very skeptical of all of these anime adaptations because I just don't want them to be super whitewashed, basically. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people who are like writing these anime movies now in hopes of just like to sell them are just these like boring nerds who think that they own like this franchise.
Oh, yeah. Like they're the gatekeepers of the franchise.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, I'm going to bring back Ultraman to America. I'm just going to put that out there.
Ultraman is on Netflix right now.
Ultraman, the new cartoon. I'm kind of a not against it or anything.
Do you
but
want
like,
the guys in suits?
I want the guys in suits fighting giant robots and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm all for all.
Oh,
for
like the like tokusatsu shit.
Mm-hmm. I'm real into tokusatsu shit.
Yeah.
If Crunchyroll wants to start a tokusatsu podcast,
look
seriously.
Honestly, I could talk to them about.
Honestly,
it.
I'd try to hook it up.
We might. I don't know. I might convince them to do a tokusatsu episode.
Nice. I'm big into that stuff right now. We want to go to Japan. We've talked about it before.
Let's go. Let's plan a trip.
Honestly, let's get our black otaku asses.
You can be our navigator.
To Osaka. Yeah. Nagasaki, more like Nagasaki. Please take that out. Please put that out.
Yeah, they won't let us in. Yeah, they won't let us in. That's the episode. That's the title.
They won't let us in, though. Speaking of Nagasaki, I'm just bringing this back because this just popped up, but like, I don't know if you've made it to in the series yet in One Punch Man where they introduced the big buff black guy.
I have not.
The dude with the sideburns?
I think he's bald. I think he's completely bald. His name's like
Barrett.
Something still. I don't know. It was wild. Man. His introduction to me was wild as hell. He's just like a big buff black guy with like the big black anime lips, like the Sambo lips.
Oh, man. No.
That's not great.
His power, from what I could tell, his power was just that he was so buff that his skin was as hard as diamonds, so he could, like, reflect bullets off and shit.
So he's Luke Cage.
Yeah.
He's basically their version of, like, Sambo Luke Cage. But that got me thinking about, like, whenever I do see, like, a dark-skinned character in anime, whenever they're from behind, if I don't see their face first, I'm like, part of me is like leaning back, like, what are they gonna look like when they turn around?
Yeah,
and if I see those lips, it's game over.
At Gin the Robot, we're trying to figure out what panel to do at Anime NYC.
Yeah,
and I really want to do one on just like the things that make me not want to watch anime. It's like that.
Let's
just
talk.
Like,
yeah.
I just don't trust y'all to represent black people in a good way.
Yeah,
I know.
Or women over the age of 17.
Yeah, I want to. Part of my pipe dream about like doing comedy and learning Japanese is that I do want to go over there and like be like a low key celebrity sort of.
Yeah.
There's this one black actor who is on this child's TV show right now, and he moved to Japan to like work at like. Like a bank or something, and then like he decided to be an actor. Do you know what I'm talking about? He's like a very dark-skinned guy, and like he was on one of the last Super Sentai seasons. Cool Super Sentai season where he like played like the chief, even though he's like 26 years old or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got to get more black people over in Japan. We got to get some good stereotypes going.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. It's especially like older series, even like Dragon Ball, whenever they would have like a black character and you see those big ass lips. Or
you mean Mr. Popo?
Mr. Popo did particularly.
I did a whole video on it.
Oh, how was the reaction to that?
Oh, negative. There's so many people that are just like, just another case of an American thinking things are about him. It's like, I'm just building a theory based on facts and shit. So, you know, it's whatever.
What's one of the things that like you do dread when you see like a dark character in an anime?
Fortunately, I mean, I'm not that scared of our representation. It's the same shit we see in regular American representation. Yeah. I mean, like I grew up on Newgrounds. I don't know if you guys know about
The Flash website.
The Flash website.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of garbage ass zombie games.
Foamy the Squirrel and shit.
Yeah. Where everyone's impersonation of a black man sounds like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I've experienced racism in animation. So when I see it in anime, there aren't that many examples that I ever have ever been like that offended by. I'm definitely rolling my eyes at the new representation of Barrett in Final Fantasy VII.
Does he have cornrows now? No, he didn't have cornrows. That was like the Advent Children.
Right, that was the Advent Children. And the cornrows were pretty fresh, actually. I don't even mind the cornrows, but
I'm Googling. Oh, yeah. He's got like a
flat top.
Flat top.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
You know who they should have got to do the voice acting for that? Wesley Snipes.
Yep. Michael J. White. And honestly, like, it's still, it does stress me out visually, but I'm also like, Is it worse for them to do that, or is it worse for Americans to, like, do all this shit that they think will satisfy us while still being low-key racist behind it?
I heard that. Yeah, for sure. I wonder, like, what the perception of... I wonder how the anime industry in Japan thinks of us now, because, like, now that, like, anime has become so popular in the West, and especially on the internet, where you're seeing, like... Black anime fans wilding out, doing all kinds of parodies and like homages and stuff. Like, it seems like they know.
I think they do. And I think, I talked to Eric Vale, who's the voice of Trunks, just about the, I don't know if you've seen in Super when they go to the future and they shoot at the actual Goku thinking it's Goku Black.
Yeah.
And there's a line when Trunks goes, "Stop! This man is not black." And
that's funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah. It's hilarious.
I gotta get that as a meme for Twitter.
And I talked to him. I asked him about that line. I was like, what happened? And he, and he told me, like, they saw it in the original translation, and were like, we can't say this right. And they thought about it for a while and were like, maybe like we can't, or we can as long as we're doing it in a self-aware way.
We're self-aware,
like, self-aware in that, like, we know people are gonna see this and it's gonna become a meme immediately, and it'll like spark some conversation. So he was just like, he decided, or they decided collectively, to leave it the way it was.
The white people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, sure. That's only to stress that they are aware.
I mean,
that,
it's like, really not that offensive anyway. I mean, like, the character's name is Goku. Yes, I do. I want to hear it. Funny.
Yeah.
Great! Plan B! This is for everyone you've killed! Eggland murderer!
Hold your fire! This man isn't black.
Okay, yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, it's bad, right?
That's it's terrible. If it was, no.
That's very funny to me. I'm with, that's very, that made me laugh very hard.
Yeah, I will use it as a meme, but.
Yeah, it's hilarious, but it's like.
Yeah, that's not really self-aware. I mean, if you're presenting something and if it doesn't.
Not self-aware, but like aware of what's going to come of it.
Right. You know? And you should know better. Just should.
Oh, then that's fine. Are you usually the only black person in these spaces having these conversations?
In anime?
Yeah.
Well, at Getting the Robot, it's me and Kurt. So we're actually the majority there.
Oh, word.
As far as like the hosts go.
Mm.
There are situations where, because like if I don't write my own pieces, there are white people writing for me, and there's a lot of situations where I have to like, I sort of have to be like, hey, could we not do that?
Yeah.
And like, I mean, there's just like a lot of like, for lack of a better word, Caucasianisms that they will write for me.
Yeah,
I'm just like, I don't say rad.
I don't call
stuff rad. I've never done that in my entire life.
Yeah.
So just like,
I have. So if you guys want to hire me. But no, actually,
you know what I mean? Just like,
I remember you posted in the Black Comedians Facebook group, like, y'all gotta apply to these jobs because a bunch of white people are writing for me. And then I remember I seeing that and I was just like, man, I guess I could move to New York. But
you don't even have to move to New York. You don't have to live.
Okay. Maybe I'll apply to it anyway.
Yeah, just send something. Just to like, but yeah, I do have conversations with them about that. And the great thing about working there is that they are very responsive to that sort of thing.
That's good.
Because I don't have any really levels to go through aside from the producer.
Right.
Who is just like, I don't know, like... Fred Seibert, who owner of Frederator, all this. He doesn't know anything about anime, so he has no commentary on like what we put out about it as long as it gets
nice. Viewed. The perfect position.
Yeah, it's great.
I do think, like, going back to colorism, I do think strives are starting to take place in the industry. what people don't like to talk about in anime, and especially I feel like it's important as we go forward, where like the Ghost in the Cell conversation from a couple years ago, where like people would talk about, it's just like people think that Japanese people don't give a shit that, like, you know, if we're making a Western movie that we put white people in it, but like those Japanese people have never had to deal with any those diversity issues. When these characters are drawn, and you know, like lots of people like to say that, like, anime characters, they have like different colored hair, they have like fucking blue and purple and green and red and all this kinds of shit. And a lot of them do take place, like, when Japanese people think of Western society, they truly do think of Europe first, and then they think of like Australia, and then they think of like America and stuff, but and then like they think of like India, but like they're not thinking of like, they don't have the same cultural touchstones. One of my favorite manga, because the creator of a Cowboy Bebop, actually Shinichiro Watanabe, he's actually been very progressive in terms of how colorism is in the industry.
I think I saw some dope quote from him about colorism.
He tries to put in a lot of dark skinned characters in his works, past and going forward. I mean, there were dark skinned characters in Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo, and like I think he made like an anime featuring like all black characters like pretty recently or something. So yeah, we got to be loud about this kind of shit.
The whole, that whole conversation is so interesting. I think they come from such a different perspective on it, especially being in Japan where you're actually represented in everything. I feel like it's such a different, I think, I don't know if they, how much they think about the perspective of like, Asian Americans here.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Cause, well, cause like there's, was it Masashi Kishimoto, guy, mangaka of Naruto. Said he made Naruto blonde so that any kid in America could play him. So that, like, any, I mean, so that any white kid in America could play him. Because there's, like, a whole concept in anime of, like, being stateless that, like, why am I blanking on his name now? That, Tezuka. That he, that's, like, why the big eyes and the very ambiguous hair colors and skin colors and all this, and big noses in anime, is because they want it to be marketable internationally. And so it complicates the conversation when it comes here, when like there is a lack of representation for Asian Americans, whereas it isn't over there.
Yeah.
And so
it's this weird feedback loop of like, so much of our media was whitewashed for such a long time that they think that they have, that like making their shit global is to whitewash their media.
Exactly.
It happens. Same thing with movies. And it's why representation is so important, because it does become like this exponential kind of like damage that like happens for like generations. And it's like, by the time we do get our media diverse, it's just like the planet's going to be dead. So it's just like fucking like,
we got 20 years to get this shit in.
It's so, and it's so funny to me that like, anime purists in a lot of way are just so like dedicated to keeping everything in the original Japanese form until it comes down to the casting.
Right.
It's like, like, we want to get a white guy who can speak perfect Japanese. Like, what? What do you, I don't know, like, what are you doing?
It's such a weird, not weird, but it is very interesting, especially as things get older and you do get more progressive, like, maybe not progressive, but even just more globally thinking creators out there starting to make things, particularly on the Japanese side. I came across this really great either article or video that was just like, these are like some great series that have like predominantly like dark skin or black characters, and you should check it out.
Yeah.
One of them was Hunter x Hunter. I think the other one was like something Lagoon, Black Lagoon. Is that
Black Lagoon? Yeah.
Black Lagoon and a couple other shows.
They got a big buff black guy in there. But he's nice.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, is he the Lagoon?
Yeah. And some others. I don't know. I'll put the link to that in this episode.
Cool.
You can check it out.
It's actually French for the goon.
Lagoon. All right. So before we head out, first of all, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, of course.
Dope to finally like officially meet you in person. Where can people check you out? Well, what do you got going on?
Oh, I've got I got all sorts of things. I got Getting the Robot. I'm mm-hmm. putting out this podcast with Crunchyroll called Anime in America. Look for that by the end of probably end of August ish. Cool. We don't have an official schedule mm-hmm. set.
Are you still doing Dark Tank?
Still doing Dark Tank. Mm-hmm. That is my podcast where I make white people pitch solutions to racism.
So good.
And got plenty of new stand-up on the way. Planning on, who knows when, dropping a new album mm-hmm. in the coming year.
You're going to record it?
I'm going to record it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I got to get on that too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got a lot of jokes that are fucking... I've been in LA this whole time. I gotta fucking get out of town.
Yeah, honestly, I'm just I'm teasing projects that may never come, like rappers do.
That's what you gotta do.
Yeah, yeah. Look out for my new my new project. Consecutive normal punchlines.
That's actually such a good title. Yeah, I'm just gonna drop my album out of nowhere. No,
yeah, you gotta be honest with
it. Yeah,
yeah.
Even though no one is excited about me at all or knows who I am. Yeah.
You'll get that one listen on Spotify from me. Yeah. What about you, Brody? What you got going on?
Man, I got so much going on. We're still crowdfunding for this short film that we're making this summer called $16,000. It's a short film about reparations. The seed and spark is, I think we're going to, by the time this comes out, we maybe have a week and a half left. We're trying to get to, we're trying to get as much as possible. We're going to make it, but we really do need help. So that's at seedandspark.com/fund/16kfilm. You can follow me at AOBroBro on all the socials. Got some real cool shit coming up soon.
Dope. I'm at Yay for Zig across all social media platforms. If you like podcasts, you came to the right place, baby. Go to thatdudezig.com.
That is
see
true.
All the podcasts that I'm producing and then listen to them so my host can make money. And then I can still make more money. So it's a great system.
Oh, we should also be, what's our Gmail again?
Oh, darkweebpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, we want to get ready to have an email, like a answer questioning pod.
A Q&A episode. We got to do Zoids still.
We'll do Zoids.
We got to do Zoids for
we promise. Doing Zoids?
Yeah, we got our first email was like, do Zoids. We're like, we're going to do it. And I think we did that. We entered that email like maybe a month and a half ago. So I guess we got to do it soonish.
Yeah, we'll check that email. We promise.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to see? What questions do you have for us? We want to be a community-based podcast. Yeah. Now that we're caught up.
Yeah, now that we're caught up, we're good. Well, folks, that was it. Thanks for coming through. We'll catch you next time here on The Dark Weeb.
Nice.
Marvin Gaye type B.
Oh, yeah.